Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, and welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and we are excited to bring you our first full week of Best Of programs, which actually began this past Friday. The broadcast you hear the rest of this month will include your favorite shows from the entire year. But before we get to today's Best Of broadcast, I'd like to remind you that this is a great time of year to partner with us here at Family Talk. Now through the end of this year, every dollar you donate will be doubled thanks to a generous matching grant. Go to drjamesdobson.org to contribute securely online, or if you'd like to donate by phone, you can do so using our toll-free number, 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for your financial support and your prayers as we continue to uphold the institution of the family. Now, on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, you'll be hearing a heartbreaking interview that Dr. Dobson did with JJ and Melanie Jasper as they shared the tragic story of losing their 5-year-old son, Cooper, in an ATV accident. The Jaspers relived for Dr. Dobson literally the worst day of their lives and revealed how God comforted them through the dark days that followed the death of their son. Let's listen now to this story here on the Best Of edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
My guests are J.J. and Melanie Jasper. They live in Mississippi, the name of the town.
Tupelo.
And I came down there and visited. That's where the American Family Radio is located.
Yes,
That's
sir.
That's the ministry of my great friend, Don Wildman. Now, J.J., you know a lot about radio because you do the morning show. There at American Family Radio. How long have you done that?
I was actually the very first voice on the very first day when they flipped the switch. That was way back in 1991. And so I've been there ever since. And Dr. Dobson, we had you on the radio. I was at the control board, and I would listen to the broadcast as you moved from California to Colorado Springs, all of the growth, all of the things that have happened many years ago. The conversation in the lobby of church after church service, everybody would say, did you hear Dr. Dobson's program today? And so you've influenced more people than you can even count, exceeding abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. That's how God has blessed you and your ministry.
Well, it's about time that you came to be a guest on our program. And Melanie, I'm delighted to have you. You're a full-time mom.
Full-time mom, and it is an honor to be here and to meet you.
And you've been married 18 years.
Yes, sir.
You do not look like the mother of 7 children.
Well, I am.
Dr. Dobson, Melanie is a Proverbs 31 woman, and any of her friends, any of our friends at church will tell you that that's so. She's an amazing woman.
Now, J.J., you and I have several things in common. Another one, in addition to doing radio programs, is that you fell off a horse, and so did I.
We both had near-fatal horseback riding accidents. And you know what was interesting about that? I was in the hospital for
49 days.
49 days, 7 days in intensive care.
49 days. I was there for 17 days.
Well, and I
thought that was forever.
Well, and I travel a lot. I'm a speaker. And so 6 months after the accident, the number one question asked, people said, what did you do with the horse? They didn't ask if I walked with a limp or how I recovered. They said, what did you do with the horse? Because they knew after that kind of accident, no way I was going to sell it, much less give it away. And Dr. Dobson, would you believe that 2 men were bidding against each other to buy that horse?
You're kidding me.
They wanted to give it to their mother-in-law.
That's a joke.
I am kidding about
you
that.
You sucked me into that one. Your accident was really worse than mine. You and I both grew up riding horses. That's an amazing thing. Well, we have a Super 8 color film of me riding a horse at 4 years of age. And I never had a problem with a horse, and I was just standing still. The horse was not even moving, and I had big tennis shoes on. I couldn't get them in the stirrups, and the wind blew my hat off, and I reached for it, and I just went on down, and I landed on top of a gun, and it just destroyed my shoulder. Yours was a whole lot worse than that.
That's right. We prayed for you when we heard about that, and you're right. Ours was near fatal, and you know, our story starts with us having 4 children. We had a 1-year-old, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and an 8-year-old. We discovered diapers spelled backwards is repaid.
Are you kidding?
Those are children in close ages.
Is this another joke?
No, no. That's back in 2008, Dr. Dobson, our family was marked by travel and adventure and ministry, and we never had a hiccup in terms of difficulties or trials. And then in 2008, Melanie's dad died in March, and he was larger than life, and she's a daddy's girl, and found out he was sick, and just a few weeks later—
3.5 weeks later, he went home to be with Jesus.
And then 1 week after the funeral, Melanie had a miscarriage. And so our entire family suffered through that, and, you know, you wonder about trying to sort things out. She had a miscarriage while we were in church on Easter Sunday morning. And so you think, well, the drug dealers and the bank robbers, they're having healthy kids. We're a Christian family sitting in church on Sunday morning and have a miscarriage. This just doesn't seem equitable. Well, her dad died. 1 week later, she had a miscarriage. And that same year on Labor Day is when I had that terrible horseback riding accident. 49 days in the hospital, near fatal. Melanie trying to manage the home, coordinating with doctors and nurses. And so 2008 was a very rough year for us because we'd never really had any difficulty to speak of. And at the end of that year, we huddled together as a family and we said, this has just been an incredibly difficult year. But our consolation was, well, the worst is behind us. There's no way we'll ever face anything that could compare with this year. And little did we know the very next year we would lose our only son.
Little Cooper. How old was Cooper?
5 years old. Blonde hair, blue eyes, athletic, so much fun, always smiling.
Mm. Well, tell us about how that tragedy occurred.
We'd bought a small farm, and we had horses and cattle. And I was on a trip to Denver, and I'd come home so excited to see my wife and children. And Melanie had been there with the children for 4 days, so I insisted she go to the store. She had some shopping to do. And so Cooper and I were mowing. He was sitting in my lap, and we were on the riding mower, and it suddenly stopped. And so we swung on the swing for a while. He's riding his bicycle, and then I suggested we ride in the dune buggy. And we bought this dune buggy because of the safety features. It had a full roll cage, side padded roll bars. It was very low to the ground. And we rode down our gravel drive, and then we turned down a dirt lane. We were riding up and down the dirt lane. And Dr. Dobson, it was Friday. The sun was shining. The wind was in our hair, just a father and a son having fun, a boy and his daddy making memories. And we rode up and down this dirt lane. And then when we finished riding, I was going to do what we always called a donut. I was going to turn the wheel and floor it and spin around and head back to the house. I turned the wheel and floored it, and the dune buggy spun around, and then something went terribly wrong, and the dune buggy rolled over. Cooper was buckled in, and I was not. I hit the ground, and as soon as I hit the ground, I remember it like it happened yesterday. My very first thought, I thought, if I put a scratch on my little buddy, I'll never be able to forgive myself. If I broke his little arm, I just wouldn't be able to live with that. And so I raced over. The dune buggy was laying on its side. Cooper was still buckled in. And in that rollover, just a freak accident, it broke his little neck. And Dr. Dobson, on July the 17th, 2009, our only son died in my arms.
I can't even imagine something like that happen. What'd you do?
The shock, the horror, all the words that you hear about it being surreal, you just think there's no way something this catastrophic can happen in the blink of an eye. And I would race him. I was trying to race him to the house, and I would stop, and I would do CPR, and I was begging for God to take my life instead of his. And for the next few hours and days, you're just in a fog.
Was he gone?
Yes, he died in my arms, but the ambulance came, and they took him, and they worked on him furiously for just a few moments in the emergency room, and then they looked up and called the time of his death. And the shock, the disbelief, the horror. To put it in perspective, on Friday afternoon, we were laughing and having fun. And Saturday, mid-morning, we were at the funeral home, and the funeral director was saying, which casket do you want for your little boy?
Melanie, how did you find out about it?
I was actually at Walmart, and I was in the checkout aisle, aisle 11. I can't ever go through that aisle without thinking of this day. And I get a phone call from JJ, and he says, "Honey, there's been an accident, and I don't think Cooper's going to make it." And he said, "I need you to call 911 back because I want to make sure I told him the right way to get to the house and the directions." And so when I left them, he was riding the lawnmower with him. So I assumed it was a lawnmower accident. I called 911, and I explained to him that my husband had just called. And they said, "Yes, we received that call." I said, "Can you please tell me what has happened? Because it must be a lawnmower accident." And they said, "It was actually a dune buggy accident." I thought, oh my goodness, my daughter Sadie must have been driving, because she was usually the one that drove. And so I began praying for Sadie and praying for Cooper. And Dr. Dobson, we lived quite a ways from the store that I was at. And all the way home, all I could say was, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, breathe life into my baby." I just screamed that all the way home. And I got home finally to see the paramedics working on Cooper. And then it dawned on me that JJ was the one driving, because he came to me and he said, "Honey, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." And I realized in that moment it had been him driving. And I thought, oh my goodness, it looks like I'm about to lose my son. And then here's this man I love with my whole heart, who's so much fun. We have such a fun family. And I thought, I'm going to lose him too, because there's no way he's going to be able to be the same after this. And so I just began to pray, oh Lord, please don't let me lose both of them in one day, you know? And so that's how I found out. Then we proceeded to the hospital. The sheriff took us to the hospital. And I remember vividly asking the sheriff, "Do you think he's already gone? Do you think it's okay, time to pray?" I knew there was still time to pray. He said, "It's never too late to pray."
JJ, Cooper was your only boy, only son.
He was our only son.
5 years old.
5 years old. And if I can tell you a little bit about him, he was a remarkable little boy. When I say that, he was always smiling. He was nearly born with a smile. And he was always happy. He was the most helpful child. Now, all of our children went through the terrible twos. Cooper did not. He never once stomped his foot and said no. He would wake up and ask Melanie, "How can I help you today?" When he was going to school, when he was in K-4, around the table at the evening meal, I was asking how everybody's day went. And I said, "Cooper, did you get to play with your friends today?" He said, "No." He said, "There was a new boy that transferred to our school, and he looked lonely. And he looked like he missed his parents." He said, "So I didn't stay with my friends. I spent the day following him and helping him." He would lay out his clothes for the next day. He would get up in the morning and fold his pajamas. We thought that we were raising a Tim Tebow, or that we had young George Washington living in our home. He had the discipline of a Marine and the focus of a professional athlete. He was an amazing, amazing little boy.
How did you tell the girls that they lost their brother?
They were actually there, and they came out, and they saw all of that. And,
you mean at the site of the action?
Yes, yes, sir. And during that time, of course, we prayed. And, you know, anyone that's lost a loved one or that's gone through something like that, especially a child, Dr. Dobson, a person who's lost their parents, they call an orphan, and a woman whose husband has died, she's called a widow. The pain is so awful and it's so great. There's not even a word for someone who's lost
a
child.
There's not.
And so all of those things that you think about, that this is a parent's worst nightmare, and I'm convinced there's not even a category in your brain to allow you to think that you might lose a child. If you have elderly grandparents, you see that they're getting gray. So many of your listeners right now are taking care of their aging parents, and you don't want to dwell on it, but you know you're going to cross that bridge. Yeah. You know you're going to get that call. With a child, if you thought there was a day that you could be playing on Friday and Saturday mid-morning you'd be at the funeral home, they shouldn't make caskets that small. And so You would never let your child swim. You'd never let them jump on a trampoline. And so it was such a shock. That kind of tragedy always happens to other people. But we're still standing, and it's by the grace of God.
Mm. And now you've written this book. Did you write it alone, or did Melanie help you?
She wrote a chapter, and it's the most inspiring chapter in the book.
Mm.
It actually started with a documentary. A couple of months after the accident, you've said nice things about Brother Don Wildman and the Wildman family. They approached just 2 months after the accident, and they said, we've tried to find resources to help you, but we can't find any resources to help someone who's lost a child. And they said, you haven't turned to drugs or alcohol. Your marriage is still strong. I did not realize some numbers indicate 89% of marriages fail if there's the death of a small child. And they said, you're not bitter or angry at God. You're still going to church. That's very rare, and your story needs to be told. So they said, with your permission, we'd like to make a movie, and we want to, number one, offer it for free, and number two, we want to give hope to people on the other side of tragedy. So they weren't trying to exploit us. They said, if and when you're ready to do this, we'd like to do this. And so we made the movie Flame On, and you helped with that, Dr. Dobson, as well as Dr. David Jeremiah, the Kendrick brothers, Dr. Tim Clinton, and the bonus tracks. So after that movie, so many thousands have seen it. They said, you need to write a book. So we wrote Losing Cooper, Finding Hope to Grieve Well.
Did the awesome why rise up in front of you and stay there? That often occurs, and it doesn't mean a lack of faith, but we live with the why. All of humanity lives with the why. Sooner or later, you're going to bump into a brick wall that you can't explain, you can't get through or around. And you have to come down to the fact that if you're going to follow Christ, to accept him and trust him.
Absolutely.
That's what he tells you, because he usually does not answer those whys. I don't know why, but he usually doesn't say, now let me tell you what's going on here. There's a reason, but you don't get it. And so you have to deal with it.
Right.
And my heart goes out to people like you who have.
Dr. Dobson, that was one of the things I struggled with the most, was why. It's something that I just really tripped over. And I shared some wise words in the book. If you'll allow me just to share a paragraph, you should not try to come up with simplistic answers to profound questions that involve the very heart and motivation of God. Even though the why question has plagued every human being who has ever lived, we all ask that question. We have reason to ask it because we go through difficulties and moments when the pieces don't fit, when you can't make sense out of what is happening to you. So we all ask. I draw comfort from the fact that even Jesus asked when he was on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? God rarely answers the why question. In the Bible, Job suffered terribly and asked the Lord deep and penetrating questions, brilliant questions, but he got no answers. Why not? Because God will not be accountable to man, period. You can put 1,000 theologians in a church and keep them there for 6 months talking about the why question, and they are not going to be able to come up with it. Our task in this life, then, is to keep trusting in God and his love for us. You can trust him even when you can't track him or understand his purposes.
That sounds kind of familiar to me.
Dr. Dobson, those are your wise words. You shared that in Nashville when we were taping the bonus section of the film, the documentary Flame On. And those were such profound words, we included those in the book.
They're in my book, too, When God Doesn't Make Sense. That's the essence of it. I wish I could, you know, sit down with everybody who is aching terribly over a loss or something that simply does not make sense. I think in some ways, for a time, Christians suffer more than non-Christians. That's going to frustrate a lot of people to hear me say that. But the reason is because of our close relationship with our Lord and our love for him. We're kind of led to believe that we have an insurance policy and those kind of things don't happen to us, but they do.
Matthew 7, Jesus talked about building your house on the rock or on the sand. Very familiar story we've known since we were children. And he said that one person heard the word of God and either neglected it or rejected it. The other heard the word of God and obeyed it. The storms came, the floods rose, the wind blew, and the one house that was built on the rock was standing, the one that was built on the sand was demolished. But if you'll notice in both parts of the story, the storms of life are inevitable. It's not a question of if it's going to happen, it's when. If you have aging grandparents, if you're caring for your elderly parents, you're going to get that call, that dreaded call. We're going to cross that bridge. So the subtitle of our book, Finding Hope to Grieve Well, a lot of people don't grieve well. They turn to drugs or alcohol, or they sit on the curb and they're paralyzed
by grief. Well, what is grieving well? It's important to say that.
Well, Melly and I, immediately after the accident, when our eyes would open, we'd hold each other and sob uncontrollably. And then we would simply pray, Lord, help us grieve well. Let us help us grieve well. We didn't even know what that looked like or what that meant. But we knew we didn't want our marriage to break up from the blame and the guilt. And we didn't want to turn to anything that would be harmful.
Or faithless.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, sir. And so we just tried to offer a roadmap and offer practical and biblical tips in the book. But we couldn't have made it without our church friends. We couldn't have made it without all the people that pray. And you go back to the basics. You pray when you don't want to. You read your Bible when you don't feel like it. And we had a great support system. Our wonderful listeners prayed for us. Our friends rallied around us. And even then, it was the hardest thing that we've ever experienced. And we wonder, how do people move to a strange town and they don't have a church home and they get through? How do they get through something like that?
Yeah. And how do people get through when they don't have the Lord to turn to? And even though he doesn't answer the why question, he says, come unto me. And he puts his arm around you. Did he do that for you, Melanie?
He sure did it for me. You know, the Bible says there's a peace that passes all understanding. And Dr. Dobson, some days when I was just crying out in such pain, it felt like it was almost a warm blanket that you just took out of the dryer and it just wrapped around me. And his peace just fell all over me. Isaiah 55:8-9 says his ways are not like ours. They're higher than ours. And he sees the big picture and he sees the finished puzzle. And our life is just one little piece of the jigsaw puzzle. But I'm so thankful that I grew up in a godly home and had a firm foundation just based on scripture and based on the Lord. And so I would turn back to the Word. And, you know, like Romans 8:28 says, for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. That's a hard verse right after a tragic situation.
It is. It is. And sometimes they're thrown at grieving people.
They are. But they're true. Just like John 16:33 says, in this world we will have trouble. But it goes on to say, but take heart. He has overcome the world. He's got a perfect plan for us, but it might not always be painless, but it's perfect, and we have to trust in that.
We're out of time for today. We want to go on tomorrow to talk about your lives since losing Cooper. Again, that's the title of the book, Losing Cooper, Finding Hope to Grieve Well. It's written by J.J. Jasper, and it is published by
Brett Morgan Publishing.
And it's available in bookstores or from Amazon and where else?
JJJasper.com. Maybe one of the easiest places. It's on Kindle, a lot of the places where you get books. Yes, sir.
I'm so glad you all came to be with us. You've touched my heart, and I know a lot of other people too. But there's more to your story than this, and you are going to see Cooper again. And would you do me a favor? Let me be there when you meet him. Would you? I would like to see that.
That would be a great reunion.
I would like to see
day.
That little boy grab you around the neck and tell you that he loves you. And I know you loved him.
Yes, sir. Well, Dr. Dobson, we know we're not the only family that suffered. And our heart breaks for people that are in the very raw stages of grief. And we just want to say that there is help and hope in the Lord. And even though you don't feel like it, you are going to make it with God's help.
We're going to pick up right there next time.
Yes, sir.
We pray that God spoke to you through the replay of this captivating interview Dr. James Dobson conducted with J.J. and Melanie Jasper here on Family Talk. The Jaspers mentioned the book they wrote following the tragic loss of their son. And if you'd like more information on how to get a copy of their book, Losing Cooper, go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Looking back on 2017 here at Family Talk, I am reminded of all the great programs we've been able to bring you during this past year. It's been so wonderful to hear your feedback on these programs, and I want to encourage you, if you've never called our feedback line before, why not do so right now? The toll-free number to call is 844-823-2669. Why don't you give us a call? Let us know what you thought about today's program, for example. Now, when you do call that toll-free number, you'll have 2 minutes to leave your comment, your testimony, or just feedback on the ministry. Again, the number to call is 844-823-2669. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening today. Remember to tune in again tomorrow to hear the conclusion of the very compelling interview featuring JJ and Melanie Jasper right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.